But at the time that I was at Barry College, J.B. Stoneman wanted to come and to talk to the student body. And I remember that they were taking a poll as to would the student body object to him coming to talk to the student body. And one of the things that I said was that, you know, he had the right to come anywhere and talk and say whatever he wanted to say. And I think the man, he deserved respect because he was honest enough to stand up and say what he believed, whether it was the right thing or not. This is what he believed, and he didn't back down and he didn't hide. He didn't try to hide it from anybody. And that's one of the things that's just really, really dangerous, is when you get people who throw their stones and hide their hands behind their backs. Those people are the most dangerous ones that you can be involved with. When you find somebody like J.B. Stoneman who's called white, white, and black, black, and say it like it is, and tell you how he feels, you don't have to love him, you don't have to like him, but I still believe that the man deserves respect for being honest enough to stand steadfast in what he believed, because it will be between him and his maker as to who deals with him whenever he leaves this earth. So my thing was that it was okay for him to come, but I think that it was voted out that he would cause more harm than good in coming to a campus like Barry College. And Barry was funded by people for up north too, in the higher places, because it's a private school. I think he could have had something to do with that also, but he was not able to come to the campus as a result of the technical codes. Another president that I served under, and governor too, was President and Governor Jimmy Carter. I think the fact that Jimmy Carter was so concerned about human beings as a whole, and getting along and trying to do the right thing, I just think he was in the wrong place, and that's why he didn't get back into the White House. And I think lots of fun was poked at him, because they were people who didn't try to outlive anybody else, but just believed in living a good, clean, wholesome life. And today, he continues to work for the good of man here in Georgia, probably all over, and he still carries the concern for human beings that he had when he was in the White House. I just remember that when they tried to go and to Iran, I believe it was Iran where they had to go, and they tried to do this thing where they tried to go in and bring back these captives, and that was kind of a problem. Whereas it didn't go through. One thing that it made me think about was, are we making a movie for television? Because it seemed like something people would try to do in television, but it was really happening in real life. He wasn't given credit for his efforts of even trying. And then here comes Ronald Reagan. He comes in and he's playing a cowboy all his life. Then he comes in, and to me, it's still like he's playing the cowboy and the Indian part. Like, you know, this is what we're going to do when he went in there, and he's going to bomb. The things that went on with President, I just have much, much respect for President Jimmy Carter. I continue to have respect for President Jimmy Carter and his wife, his family. I remember when we had the bus accident here that killed all those children. His wife and his mother came here to this little community, and the fact that they took the time out of their busy schedule to come here and to be with them, it meant a lot to these people just to take that time. They don't forget the little people, and they go out and work. And when they say they're working for the little people, I really believe that he feels this way, that he is concerned about the smaller person and everybody getting along and doing the right thing. But some of the others, I just, you know, I don't go along with it. And I've come to the conclusion that, now, I am a Democrat, and I've always voted Democratic. But some things that, you know, that both of them do are not right. And it causes a concern about, you know, if you could take a little bit of this and a little bit of that and go for it. But I don't remember anything that President Ronald Reagan did that was good for us, for our race of people. I really don't remember. Maybe my mind is slipping, but I really don't. I remember they turned back and they had the White House under control for about 12 years because he was in there for 8 years, and then we had another Republican to come in there. George Bush to come in there 4 more years, and that's 12 years, isn't it? Okay, so, and then trying to come back and change some of all of this that was going on, I just think that when Clinton went in, that he just, things were in such a mess that, you know, he's going to need more than 4 years before he can change anything or make it right. The thing about this affirmative action that they have and that they had did, that was the only way that blacks could get a chance of getting in there, the affirmative action and the quota system. As a matter of fact, that was the way I got my job, was a quota. And what happened is they had to have so many, they had to have a quota of so many blacks on the faculty. Okay. And that quota, it didn't have to be about 1 or 2. So still, what could you do? You know, it was never any more than just a few of us. And besides, not many blacks went and got the education, because after they finished, they kind of like retired before the schools integrated. But I was hired, the way I got my job as teaching was out of the thing of quotas. They had to have so many quotas. When one black retired or they quit or they moved on, then they tried to replace her or him with another black. And so that's how I got my job, is that I replaced another black teacher. And I remember when I first started that, they used to come around and say, how many blacks do you have? How many black males? How many black females? Very seldom do they come around and say it now. You know, do they come around and say. Very seldom do they try to replace a black with another black. Do they try to get them in certain positions. And I think this is a result of this thing about doing away with quotas and doing away with affirmative action. They can say what they want to, but I still believe that if there's not some kind of a rule or some kind of belief that we've got to have so many in there, and I really believe that they should be the best. I believe that they need to be able to do their part and do their work, but how many can say that whites are qualified to do their jobs? How many of them went to these sororities and fraternities and bought their degrees? Because not all of them went through and they did it, because how can you go to a school and party hardy, maybe starting out on Wednesday and Thursday, and then go to school on Monday with a clear head and go on through the week and do the job? I remember when I was at Berry doing some classes, when we first took the class, the class was full and it was in the auditorium. But about a week later, there were maybe 20 or 30 of us still in the class. Although the others were on roll, but they never showed up until test time. And who passed the test? Who got A's? These people who never showed up. Now you tell me something's not wrong with the system. Something's not wrong about doing this and about really being qualified and certified. You know, you can be certified but not qualified. And you can be qualified but not certified. It's just being the right thing and doing the right thing. And the good old boy system still exists. It has always existed. I think it will continue to exist. It will exist even more so if they get rid of the affirmative action and the quotas that they have, because they're not being fair. It's just not being fair. And those are the things that, some of the things that that President Clinton was trying to preserve and things like this. That's the way I feel about the affirmative action and the quotas that they use to hire. I wish they could get away with it and just hire people. Young people who are willing to work, who are qualified, certified, and willing to do the job, no matter what race of people they are. Some of the diseases that existed when I was younger, when I was coming up, but you see, adults never talked about it around young people. We never heard. I was an adult. I was a married woman. When I just heard about it, and I heard about what was called syphilis and gonorrhea and VD, I just heard about it, and because, like I say, it was not in my generation. It was not, young people were not as promiscuous that I know about in my group surrounding. They were just not promiscuous. We were just really church involved and just didn't become promiscuous and things like that. But however, there were those who were, and that was a place, I believe they called Alto. And I've heard of a bus that used to come around that would pick people up and carry them off to this place to get treatment. I think it left many of the women and men quite barren because of the disease that they had contracted. Some of the husbands who were promiscuous and would go back to their wives gave the children the disease as a result of them being involved with women who were had the disease. This was one way that a wife could get a divorce, is that if her husband had gone off and gotten a disease and brought it back to her and her children, they could get a divorce quite easily that way. But those are the diseases that I know about during that time. But they were diseases that could be treated, I think, with penicillin and stuff like that. But the diseases that they have now are the very deadly diseases. I don't know that they can do anything, you know, but I was told that that was what they treated them with doing then. And the worst thing that could happen to them was they would be there, couldn't reproduce. That's fine.
Okay.